So we hear about a rich man in the parable in today's gospel who wants to tear down his barns and build larger barns to store all of his rich harvest. And there's a couple lessons we can reflect upon from this gospel. And the first one is, as Christ says, to be on guard against greed. Or another translation would say covetousness. But what it's talking about is this just insatiable desire for more. And he's not talking about working hard to provide for our needs. You know, that's okay. We need to be responsible and provide for our families, and we need to work hard. But what he's talking about is this greed that can come in where it's just things, the possessions that we have are just never enough, and we need more. And I think this is something that we see so common in our culture today. People hoarding more and more wealth. People want bigger homes. They want nicer vacations. They want better paying jobs or the next promotion. They want more stylish clothing. They want more. And it's never enough. They're never satisfied. You know, sometimes it's not with material possessions, but people, you know, seeking their own pleasure. You know, people, their time is absorbed in sports or playing video games or Netflix or social media. And they spend hour after hour after hour doing these things. And it's never enough. And they always want more time to just be, you know, having a good time. While what matters to God is far from their mind. And so I think that the first lesson is for us to be on guard against that type of greed or that type of insatiable desire for more. You know, worldly possessions don't have that much value. And as long as we have enough to provide for our needs, that's sufficient. And so the first question for us to reflect upon is whether, you know, there is this level of greed or covetousness within us that needs to be purified. And the second thing I want to point out is that for some people, it's not necessarily greed. But some people just place a higher value or a higher priority on things of this world. You know, that's always what they place first, and that's what they think about the most, while the things that matter to God can often be a distant second. And I think we need to guard against that as well. And that's more of a matter of priorities, prioritizing what's first and what's most important. You know, a lot of people will, you know, focus on, you know, worldly things. You know, if there's a leak in their house, they're going to be right there and they're going to make sure that gets fixed as soon as possible. You know, a day's not going to go by until that leak is fixed. Or if their car breaks down, they're going to make sure that car is fixed right away. You know, or if there's an opportunity for a promotion at work, they're going to be right on it. But then what happens if there's something wrong in our spiritual lives? What happens if we fall into sin? You know, how quick are we to come to the sacrament of confession? How quick are we to get to Eucharistic adoration when we have the opportunity to do that? You know, which is taking precedence? And I think very often it's very common in our culture and certainly, you know, within our parishes for people to simply have things prioritized in the wrong way. And what happens is they become very lukewarm in regards to the faith. They become very apathetic. And it's like, well, an opportunity for prayer, oh, that's not a big deal. Opportunity for Eucharistic adoration, there's other things we could be doing. And religious obligations become subservient to other things that take precedence, whether it is finances, whether it is getting our kids to every single different activity that we could get them to. You know, but in the grand scheme of things, when we step into eternity, which is going to happen for all of us, a million years from now, who's going to be looking back on this world and think, oh man, my house, you know, I just wish I had another 500 square feet in my house. You know, a million years from now, nobody's going to care about that. You know, wherever we end up in eternity, whether it's eternal life or eternal death, no one's going to look back and care about that. No one's going to look back and care about a basketball game in the year 2019. A million years from now, no one's going to care about that. But what will matter in eternity is the state of our souls. Whether we leave this world in a state of grace, with sanctifying grace in our souls, or whether we leave this world in a state of sin. You know, what is sanctifying grace? Sanctifying grace is what we first receive in our baptism. And what this is divine life within our soul. When we receive sanctifying grace, the Holy Spirit actually dwells within us. And we become friends with God. We enter into a relationship, and this is what the Lord desires for us. He desires for us to be in a relationship, in a covenant with Him, so that we're His people and that He's our God. That we're actually in a living and a real relationship where we're praying to Him, we're cooperating with His grace, and we're living in accord with His will. You know, that is what it means to be in a state of grace, and that is so incredibly precious, to be in a true and authentic relationship with God, where we're part of His family. If we're in a state of sin, what that means is that we're enemies with God. We've rejected His will for our lives. We've rejected His friendship. Our actions, by acting in a way that is opposed to His will, we drive His presence and we drive His friendship out of our souls. And so that we're no longer His people and we're no longer in a relationship with Him. That's what it means to be in a state of sin. And when we step from this world into eternity, whatever state our soul is, solidifies for all eternity, whether we're in a state of grace or a state of sin. And so our Lord desires so greatly for us to be in a friendship with Him, to be in a state of grace. You know, who cares about all these other worldly concerns if we're not in a state of grace? You know, so if we have fallen into sin, you know, if we've committed a serious sin, like if we've deliberately skipped a Sunday Mass, or if we've skipped a holy day of obligation, that if we have cursed the Lord's name or taken the Lord's name in vain, if we've fallen into sins of lust, or if we've acted out and lashed out at someone in anger, we need to get to confession. That's the number one priority. If there is a leak in our house, we'd fix it. If there is something wrong in our soul and we're no longer in a state of grace, we need to come to confession as quickly as possible and make sure that what matters to God is put first. And so as we reflect upon these readings today, I think it's important for us to reflect upon how critical it is for us to be in a state of grace and to be living a life of prayer where we're nurturing our relationship with God. And if other things have taken priority, certainly if we've fallen into greed or covetousness, we need to drive that out of our soul. You know, that cannot reign within us. You know, we can't be seeking after things that are going to be taken from us anyway when we leave this world. But also, if our priorities are off, if we've become apathetic to the faith because other things have taken priority, you know, it's a time for us to reprioritize and put first things first. Because the things of this world, you know, it is important for us to provide for our families and to work hard. But those things, you know, worldly things need to be absolutely secondary when it comes to making sure that we're in a state of grace, that our families are in a state of grace, and that what matters to God is placed first. And so as we reflect upon these readings, we reflect upon our own priorities and make sure that what matters to God is absolutely number one, and that we're nurturing a life of prayer and a life of grace within us. And if we do that, then when we leave this world, God willing, we'll be in a state of grace, a state of friendship with God for all eternity.